you got your Bible, we're going to be in Nehemiah tonight. Move this red folder because I'm not spiritual enough to have two books up there. Nehemiah. Oakland, I got to tell you, I think it's great you brought Sarah. Is that this one's name? Is that, no? No. I'm sorry. No. She's not impressed with me. Yeah, don't worry. Seven people will be available after service to tell you that I'm full of it, so don't worry. But anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad I'm here tonight. That was worth the drive to me right there. But we're going to look at Nehemiah tonight, and I'm going to tell you something that I've heard a lot. I used to hear it from Uncle Brian. I've heard it from Aunt Melita. I've heard it from many other house parents, and then I guess they taught Amanda to say the same thing, and that is this phrase: it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Yeah, and I say the same thing to my kids because they're snot-nosed little goobers, and they just get on my nerves sometimes, and it's not what they said, because there's a big difference in go make your bed, yes, ma'am, and go make your bed, yes, ma'am, right? Two radically different experiences. Same words, totally different experiences. And so what we say and how we say it is so incredibly important. And if we look at the very beginning of the book of Nehemiah, he's got a pretty cool job, right? He's the king's cupbearer, which means that when they bring the king food, he gets the first sample. I'm like, sign me up. If I die, I die. But I know the king's eating good, and I will take that risk, right? I'm willing. That's a risk I'm willing to take, right? But anyway, it's a pretty cool gig, and he likes it. And there are some people who come to visit him, and he says, how are the Jews doing, right? How are those who left, how are they doing? How are things back home? And the report he got was not good, right? He said the remnant is what they called them. The remnant who remain, that ain't good, right? If you say, how's your car running? Well, what's left of it is doing all right. That ain't good. That's really not good. And then the rest of it is that the gates are burned. You know, what is still standing, the gates are gone, the walls are burned down. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And I love Nehemiah's response. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Says, and this is Nehemiah's prayer. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And I love that in his prayer, he doesn't go to God and say, you've really let us down this time, right? He didn't go to God and say, you know, I can't believe that you let our enemies hurt us. He didn't go to them and say to God and say, I can't believe that you've left us in disrepair. He went to God and said, God, we've messed up. Lord, we have a problem. I've sinned, my father sinned, we've all sinned. And I don't know about you, but in my life, when I've had problems and I go to God and I say, God, you're not going to believe what Amanda's done. God, you're not going to believe what Uncle Brian's done. You're going to believe what these kids did. You know, that never goes well, right? That never goes well. But when I go to God and say, God, I've created a problem, right? We had a great guy at the children's home when I was growing up. His name was Dr. Bachman, Dr. B, because I didn't have a chance of spelling Bachman. And I used to meet with him every week because I had a lot of problems. And there's a pattern here. You may have picked up on that. But anyway, me and therapists have a long history. But Dr. B and I would get together every Monday. I think I got a double dose. The other kids got like 30 minutes. It seems like mine was at least 45. And I remember he said to me one time, he said, man, if you'll just give us everything, we can help you fix it. If you'll just give us everything that's going on, we can help you fix it. He said, I think we have a chance at helping you get somewhere. I was probably in high school at this point. He said, but as long as you're holding on to things that you're not going to let go of, he said, it's going to be really hard for us to help you get somewhere. At some point, he said, you're going to have to trust somebody with every piece. You're going to have to trust one of us around here with everything. And I don't know if I ever got there or not, but the truth at least stuck with me. And I'm thankful that Nehemiah has found a place where he goes, this is too serious for us to mess around, for us to point fingers, for us to go, oh, you don't believe what he did. This person was in charge. This person broke this. This person's done that. He says, God, we are in a mess. And God, let's just start with, would you forgive me? God, would you start by cleaning me up? And would you start by allowing me to do something special? Now, you're all in this room on a Wednesday night because you're familiar with the Bible already, right? And I know that I'm preaching to the choir, so you're aware that there's a happy ending to this story and that things went well. But I'm thankful that that only happened because Nehemiah got on his knees immediately and said, God, we need your help. We don't have a physical problem. We have a sin problem. And if we don't deal with the sin problem and give you those pieces, then we can build these walls up and watch them fall right back down. And we can build them back up and watch them fall right back down. But God, if you will help us with our sin problem, we have a chance at getting somewhere. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I just told you that and shut the Bible and went home, that's enough for you to change your life. That simple truth right there is enough for you to go, God, I'm not going to get, you know, school was never my favorite. Snyder Turner, the infamous wise one, said, there was giggling I had nothing to do with on this front two pews. That was not me. Anyway, Snyder Turner once said accurately about me, the only thing I wanted out of John McEachern High School was myself. I didn't care for an education. Couldn't care less if I got a diploma or any other paper out of that place. I just needed C.J. Martin out of John McEachern High School. And by the grace of God and some of the fear of Brian Busby, we accomplished that goal, right? We accomplished that. I'm not sure how it happened. I don't know if they're proud of it, but it happened. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful and I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, that's ADD for you. This it'd be like that sometimes. But anyway, I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me. And I can go to him and say, God, I have a sin problem. And he's not going to be like, did what? You know, he's going to say, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And my son died for that. You've got a problem. I've got a cure for that. And I'm thankful that he loves us. And I'm thankful that when Nehemiah went to God and said, God, I want to help with this problem, that God didn't say, who do you think you are, Nehemiah? Just because your name is so long that dyslexics can't spell it doesn't mean that you're anything special. Who do you think you are that you're going to do something special? I'm thankful that God said, that's a heart I can use, right? Without any other qualifications, he said, if that's your heart, I can use you. I can do something special with you. And I'm thankful for that, that it was his heart that he said, God, first of all, let's deal with my heart problem. Let's deal with our heart problem. And if you start there, then there's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing. There's no marriage that can't be fixed. There's no work relationship that can't be fixed. No matter how bad your grade is in math, I'm living proof. You can get a diploma. I did adopt a slogan, if you will. C's get degrees, right? It didn't turn out true because I never got a degree, but I did get a diploma, so maybe you get your own slogan. But nonetheless, there's no relationship. There's nothing that's unfixable, right? There's absolutely nothing that can't be fixed if we go to God and say, God, I need your help. God, I've got a sin problem. We call things what they are. We don't call things bad habits. We don't call things anything other than what they are, and that is simply a sin problem. And I don't know about you, but I have my fair share of them. You know, I know Brother Ceylon got a double portion. He's got a real sin problem. But the rest of us only have a regular sin problem. Luckily, he also has a hearing problem, so he may or may not know what I said. But I suspect by his face he does. I'll be speaking to him in the morning. You may have a new deacon by this Sunday. But anyway, I'm thankful for a God who sees past our sin problems and who even in his sinful state, he went to God and he said, God, I need your attention. He actually uses that phrase, please give your ear to me, several times in this chapter, several times throughout these first few chapters, actually. He says, God, would you please listen to me? God, this is important. This is important. Amanda has this thing that she'll do sometimes. I'll be in the middle of you know, scrolling on my phone or something, and she'll say, are you even listening to me? And I'm like, that is such a strange way to start a conversation. And it turns out usually the conversation has been actively going on for a while, and it's just that I'm the only one new to participating in it at that point. But anyway, it's a problem. She's threatening to take my phone away. I'm going to fight it tooth and nail. I'm hiding chargers in other rooms that she can't, you know what I mean? I'm afraid she's going to hide them to take the power away. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I'm thankful that we have a God who loves us and who sees past our sin, right? There's nothing that we're going to shock God with. There's nothing we're going to go to God and say, it's just too bad. It's just too bad. It can't be fixed. There's absolutely nothing that if we go to God and say, God, I'm going to give you all the pieces. I'm not just going to give you the pieces that I think you might already know about. God, I'm just going to give you all of the pieces. I'm going to tell you, God, I'm a sinner. I'm going to tell you, God, that I've been doing this for a long time. I'm going to tell you, God, that I shouldn't be doing this. Whatever it is, God, I'm going to give this to you. And God, I'm going to tell you, I need your help with it. And without a doubt, you're going to find the same happy ending that Jerusalem and that Nehemiah was able to find. In verse 13, he says, I went out by night. So he gets the blessing from the king to go. And then he says, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went, notice me, I think I missed something, forgive me. Verse 12 says, I arose and went in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. That's important because it's so important to know what we do, right? I go to a lot of networking groups and things of that nature to try to grow my business. And I was actually at one this morning obnoxiously early, like 8:30. And that was supposed to be funny. No, right over everybody's head. But anyway, it felt very early to me. But anyway, I'm thankful that I was there this morning because there's about 20 of us in a room, and you go around the room, and everyone stands up, and you get a 60-second, and I mean literally 60-second. They put a timer on it, and when that thing goes off, you have to say thank you and sit down, and they will shut you off. I know because I'm a talker, and I've been told thank you, Mr. Martin. So anyway. It happens. That's just like, I can't say, hi, my name is CJ in less than 60 seconds. It just is what it is. But anyway, I'm thankful that as we went around the room and everyone did their 60-second introduction, their elevator speech, they call it, I'm thankful that at the end of that, there was a visitor there and they said, hey, you get to introduce yourself, but then we want you to tell the group what your favorite thing about the meeting today was or if there's something we need to work on. And the person said, I'm thankful that after everyone's 60 seconds, I didn't just know what they do. But he said, but with nearly every one of you, I knew your why. He said, I could sense why you do what you do. Because I had told them, yeah, I cut grass, right? That's just really exhilarating stuff. I said, but to be honest with you, it's not that I just love the smell of fumes first thing in the morning. What I enjoy is the idea that Mr. Ceylon's had a long day at work, and he comes home, and if nothing else, right, I don't know what kind of day he's had. Maybe he had to fire somebody. Maybe he got fired. I don't know. Maybe things went great. Maybe things went terrible. Who knows? But when he gets home, he pulls in his driveway, if he's lucky enough to do it in the daylight, and he goes, oh, my yard looks good. And that's the welcome home he gets, right? That's why I do what I do, not just because I'm in love with fumes or two-stroke lawnmowers or weed eaters or anything else, although I do like those things because I'm a nerd. But I like the idea that someone entrusts me with their property and they get to come home and they go, all right, this looks good. I'm glad to be here. That's my why. That's why I get to do what I do. And I have to remind myself of that because you know why? Occasionally in Georgia, it's 104 degrees. This week in Georgia, it felt like minus 104 degrees. I'm not kidding. I literally got to a yard Monday morning and I was like, well, it's frozen. I had to blow dry their yard. And then I was like, that looks great. And I left. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, we got leaves up. It looked really good. They were happy. They paid. But there are times in Georgia where mowing yards is miserable, right? There are times in Georgia when doing what I do for a living is just a terrible, terrible experience. And I have to remind myself during those times, some joker is going to come home today, and I have to remind myself, I want them to be happy to be here. Otherwise, I find myself slipping and I go, that looks good enough. Right? It looks great from Lost Mountain Road. Right, which is weird. I don't live on Lost Mountain Road anymore, so I don't know why I still say that. But anyway, you know, it's that was our thing when we were working for the power lines. We're like, it looks good from my house. So you know, I have to remind myself that that's not why I do this. Right, I do this so that somebody can enjoy their property, and that's why I do what I do. And the same thing is going to be true for you if you want to do anything that matters for God. Right, I don't care if it's being a preacher. I don't care if it's being a missionary. I don't care if it's just being a godly spouse. I don't care if it's just being a godly child, a good student, if it's being a good friend to somebody. Anything you try to do that matters for eternity is going to be exhausting. It's going to come with challenges, right? There are people who literally came and tried to entice him out into a field. I'm talking about Nehemiah. They literally tried to come and tell him, hey, come out here in the field. We just want to chat with you. No, but I'm not, you know, I'm not that guy, but I can tell you that wasn't a whole lot of chatting fixing to happen out in that field. It was going to get real bad real fast. And so no matter what you're trying to do, you're going to have to do two things. One, you're going to have to start just like me and Nehemiah did. We say, God, this is too big for me to do alone. But if you'll take care of my sin problem, and if you will prepare for me. By the way, he didn't have the resources to do what he needed to do when he asked God to let him do it. Right, he didn't have the materials already lined up. God supplied those after he said, God, if you will take care of our sin problem and you'll allow me to be part of this thing, if you'll allow me to lead this thing, that's when God gave him the resources he needed to do. He needed to move forward. So don't think that, oh, well, I don't have the money. I can't do that. You know, I believe wholeheartedly if we chase after God that he will give us the tools and the resources and the time and whatever it is that we need to do something special for him if we start like Nehemiah did. Now, on the other hand, if you say, God, I want to be a pastor because I think I look good in a suit, right? There is entirely too much giggling going on right here. But anyway, not Uncle Brian, Shiloh. But truly, if that's our motivation, do you think that's going to last? Not a chance. Not a chance, right? Because none of us are more than about 3 cheeseburgers away from looking terrible in a suit anyway. So, but if we'll say to God, I just want to do something that matters to you. God, I want to have a clean heart, and I want to point people to you. I don't care if, and I don't mean it in terms of a whole church. I mean it just at your family. I just mean in your school. I just mean just in your gym class. Just wherever you are tomorrow, right? If you want to have something that matters, it starts time by saying, God, I want a clean heart. God, you know how broken I am. You know how bad things are. But God, I believe that you can fix them if you'll deal with our sin problem first, God, and then you'll allow us to do something special. We start there, and then when problems come, right, and they do, they come over and over and over again. If we look in chapter 5, this is actually not even the first time, 6. It says, now it came to, this is chapter 6, verse 1, says, now it came to pass then Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one village, the plain of Ono, that they thought to do me mischief. I love that word. Mischief, just, I don't know, man. There's something about that word. Yeah, the plain of Ono is definitely bad news. For sure, there's going to be mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? So, and by the way, forgive me, I skipped, but the times before this, right, this is not the first time. In fact, they come 4 times here, 4 or 5 times right here, but they've already come after him before. And I love that every single time, if you read through there, you'll discover the first thing he does is say, God, we've got a problem. God, would you, they're coming after us again, right? And forgive me, I should have had it marked. I had it in another Bible that's not here with me. But anyway, I'm thankful for that example of Nehemiah. When they come and they challenge him, he says, I'm going to just go ahead and, God, we're going to go ahead and need you to come down here and help us real quick. By the way, that's a really good first step to any problem. Even once you've said, God, would you clean my heart? Would you allow me to do something special for you? And you start to see some progress, right? And then challenges come. It's a really good idea that the first thing you do is to say, God, I need your help with this. God, it seems that we have a problem. And I'm thankful that he did that. And then in this chapter, when they come to him, he says to them, guys, why would I stop working to waste time fighting with you? Right? I've got an assignment from God. How crazy would I be to put my tools down, right? Take my work apron off. I wore a work apron this week. I was putting gutters on. I didn't even know they made them. But I was helping an uncle, and he was like, no, you want to wear this Ace Hardware from the 50s. Work apron. I was like, you're paying the bill. I do. I do want to wear that work apron. I will tell you, it was handy. But anyway, but imagine him saying, okay, let me just put my tools down. Let me put the things that God has for me to do, put those down, and go deal with, no, that doesn't make any sense at all, right? So he says, I'm sorry, guys, I'm too busy working for God to come fight with you. And so I would encourage you, when Satan comes and attacks you and says, hey, you don't matter, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you can't do anything for God, who do you think you are? You're just some guy. You're just some girl. You think that you can do something special? I think it's a really good idea to say, I would love to fight with you, but I'm too busy being productive for God to entertain that right now. I'm just too busy doing something special for God to allow that to even take part of my mind. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to give my attention to this thing, and you'll just have to, I'll just have to catch up with you later. Right? I'll just have to fight with you in another day, because today I get to work with God. And I don't know about you, but I'm reminded that time is precious. I probably shouldn't say this on the internet, but I did allow Jackson to play hooky yesterday so that he and I could ride down to Florida and pick up a trailer for two reasons. One, he has a license. And two, I'm old. Sometimes I have a hard time staying awake. And so I thought it'd be a really good idea, although I will say my Uncle Mark also rode with us. And you know, Uncle Mark, as you might have expected, is older. Older equals front seat. Now, you might or might not be a math magician, but I own a pickup truck. One driver plus one Uncle Mark equals no more front seats. And I don't know the last time you spent 13 hours in the back seat of a pickup truck, but I literally sat like this. And I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, I don't know what that is, but I don't like it. So if any of you have chronic back pain, you are on my prayer list, like, I mean, the top of the charts, because I'm telling you, it's all day long. I'm gonna beg Amanda tonight and be like, hey, listen, I will pay you $10 just to rub, and she'll probably say, yeah, no, won't you pray about that, sweetheart? Or she'll say, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. And I'll throw please in there, but anyway, we'll see, I don't know. But I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me. I'm thankful that I have a God who, in my life, occasionally the walls get torn down, right? And I don't mean anything crazy or, you know, don't run away. I'm not out, you know, getting drunk and beating Amanda on the weekends. That's Monday. No, I'm thankful that those are not the things that are, you know, so don't hear me say that and get your imagination twisted, right? But there are times in my life where there are some weaknesses, right? There are some weak points in my life. There are some places where I need God to strengthen things. And in my life, I have to say, God, would you help me identify the sin problem? Because if we can identify the sin problem, then we can make the repairs, right? Then we can build something. Then we can, all of a sudden, you look back and you go, oh, wow, we've got a rebuilt city, right? I've got a family that's precious. I've got a marriage that's healthy. I've got a work relationship that's good. I've got grades that I'm actually proud of, or at least that might happen for you. But the truth, you know, if we turn to God and say, God, would you help me? And then when things get hard, if we go back to that and say, God, you're my why. God, the reason that I do this isn't just because I'm preaching tonight, right? Loving my family isn't just because that's something, it's because I want to have a life that matters. That's my why. Because there's going to come a very short time, right? I started to tell you a minute ago, life is short. And I'm reminded of that more and more and more and more, that life is incredibly short. And that's why we do occasionally play hooky and ride to Florida or go fishing. Both of those have been known to happen. But time is precious and short. And when this life is over, I'm going to stand before God. He's going to go, okay, I gave you X number of years. if I keep running my mouth to my sweet wife, it's going to be a very short number, right? Probably 39-ish. But whatever those years are, I'm going to have the opportunity to say to God, hey, here's what I did with that. And I don't know, so far I'm not overly joyed about some of the answers I'm going to give, right? I'm just not jumping at joy to say, oh God, because I don't think he's going to care about money, right? I don't think he's going to care about trucks. I don't think he's going to care about trailers. I don't think he's going to care about, you know, any kind of title we get in work. I don't think that any of those things are going to matter to him. I just don't. But I do think that having the opportunity to say to him, God, well, I was part of this ministry that put out these shoe boxes that reached this person that I never would have reached without you. God, I was able to exercise this music talent and use that to serve you in this way and reach somebody through music that I never would have spoken to. God, I was able to support this ministry that was able to go and do something that I never would have met these people, but you allowed me to do this. And we can have a life that matters, right? We can have a life that we're proud of. We can have something when we're done with this life, right? Which whether it's tomorrow or whether it's in 100 years, I just want to be able to say to God, I did the best I could. God, I gave it everything I had. I called sin, sin, and I cut it out as soon as I could. I did the best I could. I wasn't perfect, but God, I gave it everything I had. Sometimes it was really hard. Sometimes the devil sent people to attack me. Sometimes, you've heard it said, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it's because you're dumb and make bad choices. God, sometimes I came after myself in those ways. But God, I gave it my best. And at every opportunity I had, I turned back to you and said, God, would you please be my why? Would you please remind me what I'm doing? Would you help me? And again, Nehemiah, there's points in the story where he literally has a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. Right? This is a cool story. I hope you'll go back and read it all. It's really, really interesting. But in my life, I want to be more like Nehemiah. I want to reach out to God and say, God, it's hard, but it's not impossible. God, it seems unlikely, but it's not impossible. So God, would you be my why? Would you tell me what to do? And if I missed it, if I'm not supposed to rebuild that thing in my life, would you let me know so I'm not fighting against you? Lord, would you give me your direction? Because sometimes CJ's directions don't work out so well, right? And what's correct for Brian Busby might not be correct for me. My favorite thing, when Ben Bennett retired, he gave us he was Uncle Brian before Uncle Brian was Uncle Brian. If you follow that. He was the superintendent before Uncle Brian was. And when he retired, he said, I'm going to write down the directions to all the churches we go to. Because as you know, it's sort of both, typically, at least especially back then, it was the same set of churches. And he said, Brian, I'm going to write these directions down for you so you know where to get. And I'm not lying to you, Uncle Brian. You tell me if I'm lying. He said in one of those directions, you turn left where the bus used to be in the field.
The lake with the boat in it.
Yeah, the lake with the boat in it. That's because there's only one of those in Georgia. You know, I'm not exaggerating. These were the directions. So at some point, the faith of our predecessor isn't going to be enough for us, right? His why isn't going to work for me because I don't know where the silo used to be. So at some point, I'm going to have to grow past leaning on the faith and the experience of the people in front of me and say, God, I thank you for being there for Uncle Brian. I thank you for being there for Uncle Ben. I thank you for being there for whoever was here before him. But God, I need you to be real to me now. God, you were real to my fathers, and I'm so thankful for that. But God, now I need your direction. But God, now my family needs to look at me and see that I chased you. Now my family needs to look at me and see that the faith was real for me, and I don't want to be like them. God, I want to be more like your son. I want to know what you have for me. And I'll leave you with this story. There was a lady that was cooking a ham, and before she cooked it, she cut the ends off of both sides. And her daughter said, why do you do that? She said, well, mama did. Said, oh, okay. Well, why did your mama do it? And she goes, I don't know. She said, well, she did. So she called her mother and said, Mom, why do we cut both ends off the ham? She said, because my mama did it. Now, luckily, her mother was in, her great-grandmother at this point was in good health, and she said, why do we cut both ends off the ham? She said, I don't know why you would cut both ends off the ham, but that's the only way it would fit in my pan. You know? So, so at some point, we're going to have to say, God, I don't know what size pan Mama had. I don't know what size hams they had back then. Thank God they still have hams, because I'm a big fan of hams. I'm probably going to have some before I get home tonight from a Waffle House somewhere. But he's calling me a big back. That's hurtful. He's like, that's the only thing you've been excited about all night. Rude. Possibly accurate as well. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But my prayer is that we would go to God and say, God, I don't need Mama's faith. I don't need Uncle Brian's faith. I don't need my pastor's faith. I don't need Brother Ceylon's faith. I don't need the faith of anybody else. I'm thankful for all of those examples. But God, I need you to help me cut the sin out of my life. I need you to help me know what is sin. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you that you have given us examples in the Bible and for all these people who we've seen faithfulness, we've seen grace, we've seen mercy, we've seen all of these things exercised. I mean, just as much as you could possibly imagine. But God, now I need you to be real to me. God, now I need my relationship with you to be my why, because nothing else is going to sustain us. Nothing else is going to be truly impacting us in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, unless we connect with the one true holy God Almighty and say, God, would you be the director of my life? Would you order my steps? Would you be my why? God, we love you. We thank you so much for Nehemiah. We thank you for the countless other examples that we could go over, Lord. We thank you for how you were there for Moses. Lord, we thank you for how you were there for Noah. We thank you for just, Lord, we could just talk about Job and 15 other people, Lord, who you were there even when things were dark. Lord, even when things were broken, and God, because of you, things got better. Lord, when we call things sin, when we give you the direction of our lives, God, we need you. In your name I pray. Amen.